All right. Would you lift your hands to the Lord? Say, Lord Jesus.
I have eyes that see.
I have ears that hear.
And I have a heart that perceives what your Holy Spirit is saying to me. Right now. This day. In Jesus' name. I pray. Amen. So I want to take you on a very short journey. And we're going to be going to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, when I was searching the heart of the Lord, he reminded me that there are times when we question, why does he love us when we don't love ourselves? His commission was, love yourself, love your neighbor as. So the loving of self has to be included. Because if you don't love yourself, you won't be able to stand anybody else. Yeah, you can giggle on that one. Love your neighbor as yourself. So if you can't stand yourself, what are you going to be doing to the neighbor? They ain't got a chance, have they? Even as believers, if you are in self-rejection, you're going in the wrong direction. Because if Jesus already died and made you valuable in the Father's eyes, what are you doing? By hating yourself.
Rejecting the truth.
Rejecting what he did. It's not good enough. He didn't clean me up yet. I'm still what? Full of negative stuff. Yes, you might be, but as far as he's concerned, you're already what? You're already healed, you're already holy, you're already been made perfected and righteous in his eyes. Now, that means there's going to be a conflict of interest. You're going to have your opinion on one side and God's going to have his word over here. And you're going to go with the emotions because it's more comfortable. Amen?
Amen.
That's why you got to get God's opinion of you instead of your own. So, in that 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. How can you have God making his appeal through yourself as an ambassador if you can't stand your own guts? It's not going to work. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Okay, so St. Paul is telling the Corinthians, get your act together. It's God that you need to be confronting, not me. Verse 21 is the secret. God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for me, so that in him I might become the righteousness of God. Might become is a questionable thing because it's going to be dependent on your decision. Either he's telling the truth and made you righteous, or your opinion is better than God's. Whenever my opinion is better than God, who becomes the God of the situation? And you're worshiping at the wrong altar. Yeah. Now, I cried out to the Lord and I said, God, you know, I want this to be a message of grace and favor. And he says, it will be if you listen to me. You need to make a decision when you see yourself going in the wrong direction, that you've got to declare what God says about you rather than your opinion on yourself. Right or wrong? See, your opinion is going to be based on your emotions, not on God's truth. So either Jesus took your sin and your failure in your opinion, or you're still holding on to him. If you and I are the officials on God's word and we overrule him, what can he do for you? Can't do a thing. God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for me. So close your eyes right now. Say, God made Jesus.
God made Jesus.
Who had no sin,
to be sin for me,
so that in him,
as a part of his body,
I might become the righteousness of God. The reason is that I might become, depends on my judgment
of his word,
which is truth.
Or my opinion
of my own behavior. Which is going to give me salvation? Huh? His opinion is going to give me salvation. My opinion will be what? Overruling his truth. Now you say, well, wait a minute. That's only one verse. Okay, we're going to go. Are you ready for a trip? Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Amen. By becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Christ redeemed me from the curse of the legal system, the Ten Commandments. By becoming a curse for me, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Was Jesus hung on a tree?
Yes.
Did he take your curses?
Yes.
So what are you doing, cursing yourself? You become an antichrist. Not funny. But it's the truth, isn't it? So again, close your eyes and say, God, let this truth of Galatians 3:13 become a reality to my heart.
Jesus Christ
redeemed me
from the curse of the law
by becoming a curse for me.
For it is written,
cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. So he hung on that tree. To let me judge myself?
No.
No. To set me free.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Say, we're going on another trip. Hebrews 2:9. Hebrews 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor, because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. So he died on that tree to taste death in my place. That's what that scripture says. And yet we've got Christians dying left and right. I've partially through a book right now about a little boy. And him and his father were involved in a car accident. And I'm not done the book yet. But I read the end.
Cheater, cheater.
Not really. I just know that the little boy survived. The father is so full of guilt and self-condemnation that he can barely survive. He's not seeing Jesus. He's only seeing himself. And he's putting guilt on himself. And he's falling apart quickly. I lived that life. I wasn't seeing Jesus lower than the angels for a while. I didn't realize he was crowned with glory and honor because he had suffered my death. So that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. The favor of God was given to Jesus for letting him taste the death that I would face. That's why a believer, when he dies, like that little boy, was instantly with the Lord. I can tell you that when I left my body, when I was 11, there was no pain involved. That was my biggest joy because I could breathe. Was I aware that Jesus had already suffered to take it away? No. I had no clue. I knew about the religious realm and the resurrection at Easter time and all that good stuff. But at 11, did I understand? No, I did not understand. But God did. First Peter 3:18. First Peter 3:18. This part is going to be a little more difficult for you to digest because it's going to deal with sins. It says, for Christ died for sins once and for all. The righteous for the unrighteous. To bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. How many times do you need to pay for your sin? You never can pay your own debt. That's why the whole purpose of Jesus hanging on that cross. And yet, in my traditions, we had to pay for every mistake we made. We had to do a penance in order to feel a little tiny bit of relief. If you know what I'm talking about, put your hand up. Thank you. Yet the scripture is the truth. The traditions of men are based on emotions. And I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just trying to tell you, the word is what you have to trust. So look at your neighbor and say, get with it. 1 Peter 3:18. Try it on. 1 Peter. 3:18. It should be known in my heart. As a truth for me. And for you. Amen?
Amen.
So close your eyes one more time. Say 1 Peter. 3:18.
Jesus Christ.
Died for sin.
Once and for all.
The righteous for the unrighteous. To bring me to God. And he was put to death. In the body. But made alive. By the Holy Spirit. And that's what's happening with me. Instead of living in guilt. He washed away my guilt. He washed away my self-condemnation. He took care of it all on that tree.
Hallelujah for me.
What freedom if we would only believe what you've just declared. Amen. You see, if you believe what you just declared, what's going to happen to your insides? You're going to jump. You're going to dance. You're going to celebrate. Because it's no longer about your activity, your choices, and your bad choices, and including the good choices. All of those are what? Irrelevant before God. Because he doesn't look at your behavior. He looks at you and how you believe that Jesus carried everything on him. So that his righteousness would be literally poured out inside of you and me. I became righteous the day I accepted him as Lord. Did I believe it? Absolutely not. If you think I believed it, I've got news for you. I did not believe it. When he showed me Romans 5:1, I'm righteous by faith. That means I'm choosing to believe that I'm righteous rather than my own emotions. Romans 5:9 says, by the blood of Jesus I've been justified in the courts of heaven. Whoa! How can I be justified when I don't feel it? Yes? I go by feelings because that's where I live. I am man. I am woman. I am this. I am that. No, you're not. You're a spirit being living in an earth suit, having a party on what Jesus already paid for. You should be partying right now, celebrating this victory inside of you. And yet you're walking around, ho-hum. I'm not that great today, Lord, but I'm really going to survive. Yeah? You should be surviving and coming from victory to victory to victory. Amen. Living from victory to victory to victory. Because he already paid the price. And you're still trying to scrub yourself and scrub yourself clean. Close your eyes for a moment. A few weeks ago, keep the eyes closed, don't look around. I have just completed some exercises, I'm sweaty. I took my soap, shampoo, etc. and went into, I'm at the Y, I'm going into the shower room. And I see a person, man, and he's scrubbing. Literally scrubbing his arms, scrubbing. Literally scrubbing and scrubbing and scrubbing. And I mean, I'm thinking, oh my God, there's going to be blood pouring out pretty soon. And the Holy Spirit says, pray for this man. He's been abused. He's trying to clean himself up. And no matter how much he scrubs and scrubs and scrubs, he's never going to clean himself up because he doesn't know me. And I began to weep inside. And I'm praying in the spirit, trying to clean up my own act. Physically, I needed it. But the Holy Spirit had me praying the most of the day for that individual. Because I knew the only Savior that has any capacity to set that man free from what happened to him was Jesus Christ. It wasn't the scrubbing and the scrubbing and the scrubbing that would clean his act up. Oh yes, it would take the dirt off, but there was no dirt left, believe me. Many Christians are taught that if they put on a scrubbing act, they'll come out holy. And it's a lie from hell. A sacrificial life will make them holy. A lie from hell. It's the belief in the one who set you and me free that will cause us to walk before the Lord in righteousness because of what Jesus did on that tree for me. Say the bottom line.
Bottom line.
Is that he did it all. And he left me with the prize. Fullness of salvation.
Full
righteousness.
Full holiness.
Before God and man.
Because of what Jesus did.
Because of what Jesus did.
On that tree.
On that tree.
Just for me.
Just for me.
And I'm believing.
That I am
righteous. I don't have to scrub anymore. I don't have to kick anything. Including my own rear end.
I'm all done beating myself up.
Jesus paid the price.
He took the curse.
And he set me free.
By his holy stripes.
I've been healed.
And I need that healing in my brain.
So I get a new perspective.
That I am a holy
and righteous man and woman.
In Christ Jesus.
Amen?
You can take that one to the bank.
Take it to the bank. Because you know what?
Loves you.
Even when you don't love yourself.